began last week to talk about the unholy Trinity, and we looked at the first two members of the, or we looked at the first member, is it working? All right. We looked at the first member of the unholy Trinity, the dragon or Satan, who is the false father in the unholy Trinity, and we looked at that at some length last week. Today we come to the other two members of this unholy Trinity. Revelation chapter 13, "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, the beast, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns. And on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but it had feet like those of a bear and the mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed, and the whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, 'Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?' The beast was given a mouth to utter curses." "And blasphemies, and who exercises authority for 42 months. And this calls for patience. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. He was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone goes into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. He performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in the full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is a man's number, and his number is 666. Let's bow together, O Lord. As we look at your word, we are so often tempted to view this as science fiction. A good horror movie. Something that has been conjured from the imagination of man to describe some horrible fate or at most, it is something that could happen, but if we just play our cards right, it can all be avoided. Lord, we read with our lips and see with our eyes. History pre-written. What not might occur, or not could occur, but what will undoubtedly happen. Oh Lord, may we live our lives so as not to take part in the deception of the beast. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked last week about that first beast, the dragon, Satan, the devil, that ancient enemy. But today we come to the second and to the third members of this unholy trinity, the Antichrist and the false prophet. As we look at the Antichrist, as Revelation describes him, the beast out of the sea, we need to understand that he is an Antichrist. He has many names in Scripture. Let us look at some of the names he is given. First of all, he is called the rider of the white horse, Revelation 6:1. We've already met this character. The first time he is met in Revelation is Revelation 6:1. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. And then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. And its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. There are some that say this is Christ, and that is the deception of the Antichrist. He looks like Christ. He rides a white horse. But as so often is the case, there are telltale signs that this is not the true Christ. For he carries not the sword, which is the word of God, as the true Christ does in Revelation 19, but he carries instead the bow, which is the weapon of Satan, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6. He's called the rider of the white horse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 gives him three names. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 gives him three names. He is called in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. First of all, verse 3, he's called two names. "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness," or also called, translated, "the man of sin." The man of lawlessness or the man of sin is one of his names. He is a man who has no law but he himself. He is the embodiment of Satan, who says, "I will have no one, even God, rule over me." And as we see in our society today, the rise of that lawless attitude. We were talking just last night, and Frank was talking about going up to college and how the first thing they saw on the college campus was the pub. Now, I don't know, but it's illegal for anyone under 21 to be drinking, isn't it? But it's condoned because we live in a day of lawlessness. If I don't like the law, I don't have to obey it. If I don't think that it applies to me, I'm exempt. And the Antichrist is the ultimate embodiment of this, the lawlessness, the man of lawlessness. But he is also called the man doomed to destruction, or the King James translates that, the son of perdition, or the son of destruction. He is the person who was born to condemnation. And then in verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, and then the lawless one, he is called the lawless one, the person who is beyond restraint. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, he is called the prince of the people who will come. The prince of the people who will come. The people who will come are the Roman Empire, as the context 9, 24, and 25 make clear. The people who will come are the Roman Empire, the ones who destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem. He will be the prince of the people who will come. He will come out of the Roman Empire. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 gives him his most commonly used name, 1 John 2:18, where he is called the Antichrist. 1 John 2:18, the Antichrist. And then 2 John chapter, there's only one chapter, but 2 John verse 7 calls him the deceiver. The deceiver. These are just a smattering of the names of this creature. This Antichrist, this man of lawlessness, this prince of the people who will come, this deceiver, the ultimate deceiver. And we must look at him to see who it is that he is. First of all, we must understand about him. He will come out of the Roman Empire. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. He will be someone who comes either from Italy, Rome itself, or at least from within the bounds of the Roman Empire. He will be probably of European or North African descent. Second of all, he will come out of Christianity. Look with me at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. First John chapter 2, verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us. These Antichrists go out from us. The Antichrist will go out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going out showed that none of them belonged to us. The Antichrist will claim to be a Christian. He will be a person who is known for his involvement in Christianity. There have been many people supposed to be the Antichrist. I was looking on the internet this week, and now there's all kinds of articles, Obama, the Antichrist, and before him it was Ronald Reagan, and before him it was John F. Kennedy, and on and on and on. But we know he will be a person who comes out of Christianity. He will portray himself, he will pretend to be a person of peace. Most people think that the Antichrist will have horns and be an evil appearing person, but that is not the case. He will be a person who pretends to be a man of peace. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at the beginning of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. hence the name of the movie. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. He will be a man that promotes peace. In fact, Daniel describes him this way. Look at Daniel, the book of Daniel. Daniel describes this Antichrist at some detail. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8 describing the Antichrist, verse 23. Here is what it says. Daniel 8:23. In the latter part of their reign, this revived Roman Empire, this fourth kingdom, which is right now existing in Europe for the first time in 1,500 years. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, have you noticed the amount of people that are just openly defying the law in leadership positions? I don't care what the law says. Here's how we can get around the law. Laws mean nothing. When the rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. This is the Antichrist. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. You see, he will merely be a conduit for the power of Satan. He will cause astonishing devastation. And as we've been reading in the book of Revelation, the destruction will be continent-wide. So far, as we've read through the book of Revelation, half of the world's population has been killed. He will cause astonishing devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will oppress Israel. It is no coincidence that Israel has always been the focus of persecution. Whether it was the Spanish or the English or the Germans under Hitler. The Jews have always been persecuted because Antichrist and the one behind him constantly desires to kill God's people. And we must understand that the days in which people who called themselves Christians but persecuted the Jews are an aberration. Because as a Bible-believing Christian, we need to be for Israel. Because God said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because he will bless any who pray for her. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper. He will consider himself superior. And when they feel secure, you see, he will go in saying, oh, everything, I'm here to save you. I'm here as the Savior. I'm the Christ. The Messiah has finally come. And the world will follow after him. But when they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the Prince of Princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. This whole fable that Hollywood has created with all these end times movies, they create that somehow we can thwart the Antichrist's appearance. All you need is Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody like that to flex their muscles and the Antichrist can be turned back is a delusion. He will be destroyed, but not by human power. Look with me over at Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. verse 21, Daniel chapter 11, describing this Antichrist again, it says, he will be succeeded by a contemptible person. Another name for the Antichrist, the contemptible person. Who has not been given the honor of royalty. He will invade the kingdom when its people feel secure. The King James translates that, he will come in peaceably. He will come in peaceably. He will come in when the people feel secure. He will seize it through intrigue. This Antichrist isn't going to show up attacking everyone or killing everyone. He will be the master of intrigue. He will say one thing and mean another. And we live in a day in which words are being emptied of their meaning. I don't know how many of you have ever read 1984 by George Orwell with the double speak that was in that. But we live in those very days. I was listening to an interview with a politician, and they were playing tapes of what he'd said. And he'd said this, and then they'd play the tape, and he'd say the exact opposite thing. I'm going to do this, and then they play the other tape, and he'd say, I'm not going to do this. And he said, well, you know, those are campaign promises. No one really expects you to keep them. He will seize it through intrigue. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, when the richest providences feel secure, he will evade them. He will invade them. The King James translates that, he will enter in peaceably. He will come in while everyone feels secure, and they will hail him as a hero. And then, when their guard is down, he will attack without warning. This is the person that is described as the Antichrist. Who is this Antichrist? Is he some supernatural being? No, he is not. He is only a man. But he is a man who is empowered by the power of Satan. Now, Satan tried to make Jesus himself the Antichrist. We read about that in Matthew chapter 4. Satan attempted to turn Jesus to become the Antichrist. Matthew 4, verse 8. Matthew 4, verse 8. In tempting Jesus, the Antichrist, to become the Antichrist, it says again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Now I want you to notice something. In the next verse, Jesus says, away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus did not say to Satan, you're a liar, you don't own the world. You notice that? Jesus didn't challenge Satan's right to rule the world or to give it to anyone he chose. Satan is the god of this age. He is the one who rules the nation. And his demonic hordes, as we see in Daniel chapter 10, sit as princes over nations. Why is it that we never see corrupt men go into politics and become good? But you always, or all too often, see good men go into politics and become cross. Because Satan is the ruler of this world system, and it rules by his authority. And he offered to Jesus, I'll give it to you all. You want to be the King of Kings? The Prince of Princes? I'll let you do it. You just fall down and worship me. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to pay for sin. You don't have to suffer that humiliation. Just worship me one time and you can have it all. And Jesus said, no. But at some point, perhaps even already as we sit here today, perhaps at some point in the future, we will not know until it happens. There is a person who will say to Satan, when Satan offers him the whole world, yeah. Now, here's the tragedy for so many lost people. And if you have not really given your life and everything in it to Jesus Christ, I want you to picture this. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? But how many people sell their soul for a trailer in a trailer park? For a needle they can shove in their arm? For a moment of pleasure? For a pot of stew. I can remember a long time ago Patrick having a disagreement with his father, and he said, Dad, if you're going to sell your soul, at least hold out for a little more. Here's a man who will do exactly that. He will take from Satan the whole world, and he will rule it. And in fact, Revelation is very clear about this. Look at Revelation chapter 13, as we have read, Revelation 13. Look at the end of verse 3. Look at the end of verse 3. Revelation 13, the end of verse 3. What does it say? The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Or again, it says in verse 7, the middle of verse 7, and he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nations. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He will be the absolute ruler of the world, at least for a time. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but only for a little season. And he will be uncontested in his power for a very short time, but that will not last. Furthermore, not only will the whole world run after him going, oh, finally, but he will attack and destroy those who are the true worshipers of God. Look at Revelation 13, verse 7. He was given power, Revelation 13, 7, to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And in fact, the vast majority, if not all, of those who come to faith in Jesus Christ during the reign of this Antichrist will be killed. Notice Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 4, Revelation 20, verse 4. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads and on their hands. But the fate that they suffer is a they will be beheaded for his name. And there are many today that say, oh, if this is all going to happen, I'll just wait till I see it beginning to happen. Then I'll turn to Christ. Oh, much better to turn to him today before that day comes. How horrible to come to faith in Christ during that time when the least that will happen to you is to be martyred for your faith. This Antichrist will be allowed to triumph. Notice what it is said of him. Look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. Revelation 13, 4. Men worship the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worship the beast and ask, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? And do we not live in a day in which people follow whoever seems to be winning? Who cares what they stand for? Who cares what they are like? Just as long as they're successful, we will worship at their feet. Sadly, that has impacted the church in such a powerful way. Because the church today is such that people don't ask, is the truth being taught? Do they have multimedia? It's not, is the Word of God followed, but are the sermons lively and the music good? And this Antichrist, everyone will look at him and say, who can face him? He's the winner. We're going to side with him. But of course, as we've already looked in Daniel, he will be destroyed. His day of reckoning will not wait for very long. One last thing we need to say about this second beast before we move on is this Antichrist, one of the things that will be true of him is he will have had a fatal wound. He will appear like Jesus. Remember, he is the Antichrist, the fake Jesus, the false Christ. He will try to imitate Jesus in every way. And one of them is, he will appear to rise from the dead. Look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. Revelation 13, verse 3. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound. But the fatal wound had been healed. And again, it says of him, Revelation chapter 13, verse 12, he, the third beast, the false prophet, spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the Antichrist, the first beast, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose fatal wound had been healed. So, one thing we know for sure about this Antichrist, he will have, apparently, a fatal wound. Now, whether that wound is real or only fake, whether he is near death or actually dead, people debate, but it will appear to all the inhabitants of the earth that he has risen from the dead, just as Jesus did, and he will deceive the whole world. When 2 John chapter 7 calls him the deceiver, they are naming him what he truly is. This is the second person of the unholy Trinity. And then we have the third person of the unholy Trinity, the one who is called the false prophet. The one who is called the false prophet. He is found in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to the end of the chapter. He is the false third person of the Trinity. He is the false Holy Spirit. Now, just as the Bible teaches very little about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit says his ministry is to glorify Jesus, the The Bible says very little about this false prophet. But from what we can glean, we see a number of things. First of all, this false prophet sets up a one-world religion. I was driving down the road the other day, and I saw a car with all these different religious symbols in it, and they had twisted them in such a way that they spelled out, "Can we not just coexist?" Well, all religions lead to the same place. All roads lead to heaven. The final end of that will be a one-world religion that will gather together all the religions of the world into a single Satan-worshipping religion. Notice what it says, Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. "I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon." Remember that Jesus said people will come as as wolves, but do they walk up to the door with, in their wolf suit? Wolves wrapped in sheep's clothing. And this false prophet will look like a lamb. Oh, he will be so kind. He's so gentle. So pure. So fluffy. But when he opens his mouth, abominations will fall out. Oh, they won't be dressed as abominations. They will be dressed as flowery speech. But at its core will be destruction. And notice, he sets up this worldwide religion. Notice what it says in verse 14. "Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast," or the Antichrist, "he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived." He sets up this false image of the beast and gathers a worldwide religion to worship the beast. Notice, second of all, about him. He is a person who can perform miracles. Notice what it says in verse 13. "He performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in the full view of men." We live in a day in which more and more of the Christian church is captivated by the idea of signs or wonders. Teacher Joe, we've got to listen to Teacher Joe. Teacher Joe did miracles. Oh, Teacher Betty, she raised the dead. Teacher Peter, he had some miraculous thing happen. Seldom is it ever asked, is this in accordance with the Word of God? And this is part of the deception that this false prophet will bring upon the whole world, because he will be able to do miraculous signs. We must understand that it is not only God who can do miracles, Satan can do miracles as well. We see that throughout the Scripture. Moses threw down his staff and it became a serpent. And what happened? Pharaoh's enchanters, by their demonic arts, did the same thing. 2 Thessalonians says this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. There will be a vast deception. Notice what it says in verse 11. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Notice it doesn't say so that they will believe lies. They will believe the lie. And the lie is that the Antichrist truly is Jesus. Finally come. We live in a day in which those the Antichrist is being prepared for that deception. Growing. Finally, we doubt about this Antichrist, Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, that he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the beast to be killed, that worldwide religion. And the result of refusing that worldwide religion is death. But it says also beyond that, and he forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead so that no one could buy or sell. So that no one could buy or sell unless he had that mark. Here we have the mark of the beast. And there will come a time when people will literally have some kind